Jesus. The yellow light!
I'm walking here!
Good afternoon and welcome to the Jason Rancho on AM 770 KTTH. We are streaming on the KTTH smartphone app, which now allows you to see video of this studio as I host the show. 11 burglars broke into a vape shop in Normandy Park. A woman might have cut someone's face off with an axe in Tacoma. Plus, a former mayor's son stands accused on child pornography charges. It's just another weekend in the Puget Sound region, and it's What's Trending, brought to you by Legacy Group Capital Northwest Fund.
What's Trending? Crime.
So lots of crime happening every single weekend in this area. We know precisely why it's happening. We can connect dots directly to policies that are very clearly, very obviously responsible. And so every Monday, we start with a crime roundup, and we start in Normandy Park, where around 2:40 or so early this morning, about 11 people crashed a stolen van into Tobacco Studio and Vape. They run in, they steal as much product as they can, and then they leave. They were only in the shop for about 4 minutes. Just 4 minutes. And police showed up 1 minute after they left the shop. So it took police 5 minutes to get there. Now, generally speaking, that's pretty good time, right? Every minute counts. If this were a violent crime, you would want them there as quickly as humanly possible. 5 minutes, pretty decent as far as response time. And yet they weren't there fast enough. Now, the bad guys apparently fled in two different cars. I'm going to guess that they were stolen. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty certain we'll get news that those were stolen vehicles. Now, the owner of this shop told King 5 that they lost about $30,000 worth of products. We're talking about vape, cigarettes, CBD products, which, by the way, make a mental note. CBD products, nonsense. It's all a scam. I got this like lotion that's supposed to be a pain reliever. Oh, it's infused with CBD. Didn't do anything. Total fake. It's fake.
I've tried it with pets too. They have like pet stuff for it too.
And oh my God. You know they can't get high off of that, right?
Yeah, I mean, I hope so, yeah.
All of a sudden, the little beagle looks stoned out of its mind. You're like, oh my God, this was the wrong kind of cream. It's got the tincture in it. It's THC infused. So this, of course, does a whole bunch of damage to the shop as well. According to the owner, just to fix the front entrance is going to cost about $40,000. $40,000. And keep in mind, for the most part, when we're talking about these kinds of crimes, they are not going through their insurance. This is an out-of-pocket expense. And I can't imagine that a vape shop has a whole bunch of cash on hand that they can just throw at these break-ins. Now, it was funny because in this King 5 story that I first saw this story appear, you had them talk about how, well, the state legislation is hard at work trying to combat this issue. And they point to a Senate bill that supposedly adds an extra year of jail time to someone who ends up getting convicted of robbing a pot shop. And of course, what ends up happening is that, bam, nothing ends up happening. Nothing ends up happening anyway. And in this case, the bill didn't even go anywhere. It just died. Why did it die? Because Democrats do not believe in jailing criminals, period. Now, the question becomes, because we know that we can point directly to the vehicular pursuit ban as to why we started to see these kinds of crimes. It's not the only reason why we're seeing this kind of crime in the grand scheme of things, but it's a big reason. So we know that it has now passed, courtesy of the legislature, or they accepted the signatures. And a few weeks from now, bam, we're done with it. You can, as a law enforcement official, go ahead and pursue again. How soon does the culture change around this? I don't know. And I don't think it's going to change as quickly as some people think. Because at the end of the day, you're still competing with bad guys who know that police departments are understaffed and unlikely to respond fast enough. They spent 4 minutes in the shop. That was probably about 2 minutes longer than necessary for their end goal. Now, they had 11 people with them, so I imagine they thought, oh, let's really just clean out this place. But you still have the issue of not enough cops. And then on top of that, what do you have? What's the other big issue here? Prosecutors aren't going to do anything. Judges who won't put any of these people in jail, no matter how many times they get caught. So I'm very curious, and this is really going to be an experiment here in Washington State to find out how long it takes for things to return to normal, where we weren't seeing these kinds of crimes every single day. How many times have we done this exact story with just a different business, and sometimes with the same business getting hit over and over and over again? Then a pretty nasty story out of Tacoma. A 21-year-old woman ended up getting accused of carjackings and then attacking someone with an axe. A man called 911 saying, hey, my car is being stolen. It's being stolen right this moment. And as he was calling 911, he apparently was approaching this 21-year-old suspect saying to the woman, hey, you, stop stealing my car. And according to the 911 audio, we don't have it. We have a transcript. We have a message from a police report indicating such. But they say on the call, he was basically telling her not to, you know, attack him with the axe. She was all like, oh, okay, since you asked politely. And then she put the axe down and then she went on her merry. No, what she ended up doing was the exact opposite of what he had demanded. And according to police, attacked him with the axe. Now, the guy is okay, according to the reports. However, I got a note on Twitter from a guy who lives in the apartment complex right where this happened. And he heard a knock at the door. He answered it. A neighbor said, look outside at what just happened. And he looked outside. And this is a direct quote from what he sent to me as to what he saw. He said, I go outside to check it out, and half the guy's face was cut over the nose and eye and kind of flapping, if you will. It was flapping.
Ugh.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I mean, imagine being in that position outside of the pain factor, which I'm assuming is going to be so high that you might actually pass out. But flapping, like you being aware of that, oh my God.
I feel like you've had a lot of stories like this lately.
I know.
Regarded to like just people's flesh not doing what it's supposed to be
doing. No, flesh is not supposed to be flapping. Oh my God. She ends up stealing his car, according to the police. So cops then arrive at the scene. Medics get to the scene. Like I said, the guy miraculously is going to be okay. But while they're there, they get another call about the same woman allegedly committing an assault and robbery against an Uber driver. And that Uber driver ends up getting stabbed in addition to carjacked, according to the police. And this one is considerably more serious. Imagine that. Como says the injured driver received multiple stab wounds to his chest and arms. Tacoma Fire took him to a local hospital with serious but non-life-threatening injuries. Police said the woman fled the second carjacking scene in the Uber driver's car. Then it happens again, where they get a call of, in this case, someone spotted the stolen Uber car, wasn't too far away from where they were. They were able to find the suspect. They were able to make the arrest. Apparently, she just sort of gave up. And now we're dealing with the aftermath of this kind of crime. Yet again, this kind of crime has a serious impact, not just on the community, but also because it was an Uber driver, this is yet another rideshare driver who was attacked. A local driver spoke with Como TV.
The driver was defenseless. He couldn't do anything, you know, for himself. He was driving. And it seems that we are being targeted. And I think this is just another vivid reality that there has to be more solutions.
Now, there obviously needs to be solutions to the problem here, but there's no evidence that this was a targeted attack in the sense that he means, right? There's no evidence to suggest she targeted him because he happened to be an Uber driver. It might just have been a complete, you know, a bit of just bad luck for this poor driver to be in the area at the wrong time, because the first driver was not, as far as I can tell, an Uber driver. So I don't know, you know, maybe she's a Lyft fan and not a fan of Uber, but I think that was coincidental here. However, like I said, there have been high profile cases in which rideshare drivers have either been seriously attacked or murdered while out on the job. So I understand from his perspective why he's got this level of concern.
Another driver that we hope that he gets better soon. It's going to be a long recovery for him, and he will probably not be able to go back to work soon.
You got to feel bad for these people. And again, we'll find out what kind of charges this 21-year-old suspect actually will face. And as importantly, 3 months from now, what ends up happening? Is this someone who's going to get the opportunity to plead down to lesser charges, go into restorative justice programs instead of going into jail despite being accused of, you know, two pretty serious crimes on top of the two carjackings that are alleged? And then finally, speaking of serious crimes, over the weekend, the son of a former Seattle mayor was arrested for allegedly having a whole lot of child pornography on his computer. Jack McGinn, McGinn as in the son of former Seattle mayor Mike McGinn, he was arrested over the weekend at his parents' house. Apparently, the former mayor and his wife fled Seattle, moved to the East Coast, but left their home here in Seattle for their son. Cops ended up getting a tip from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children that an email address from Google was caught or associated with in some way with distributing or asking for child pornography. It was either asking for or distributing, it sounds like, just based on the charges. But they were able over at SPD to track down who owned or who they thought owned the Google email address. And they were able to track it directly via, you know, IPs, and they were able to track it to this one particular house. They end up serving a search warrant. They go on this guy's computer, or he admitted to something along the lines of having like 100 files, at least 100 files on his computer with child pornography. The court documents say McGinn admitted to downloading, quote, at least 100 files containing images or videos of underage children involved in sexually explicit conduct. They also say, according to McGinn, he has a cocaine addiction and goes on weekend benders, which is when he typically views the child sex abuse material on his desktop. First of all, you're not going to blame the cocaine for this one. And number two, typically when you're doing the coke benders, that's when you, so in other words, typically, but not always. So sometimes you're just looking at the child pornography. And I read as much of the documents as I could. It's a pretty detailed sort of depiction of what was in the videos, because you have to do that as an officer to point out the severity of this kind of crime. It's nauseating. Like, it's nauseating what the officer said was on the actual, at least one video amongst 100 different files. Some of them, I imagine, are videos, others are photos. But it's pretty clearly child pornography, according to the police. So, interestingly enough, he hasn't officially been charged. They had the first appearance over the weekend. And he ends up getting bailed out on Saturday night. He posts his bail. And whenever there's bail, number one, I'm somewhat shocked. But number two, the question then becomes, well, how much bail did you actually put on someone like this? I mean, you only have to put up 10% of the bail. I imagine he comes from money. This is obviously an incredibly serious case or serious allegation where, according to the court documents, he at least admits in part to having some of the pornography. So the court documents actually said that he was engaging in the market of misery of sexually abused children to satisfy his interests. So what amount of money do you ask for as far as bail? They asked for $100,000. Now, in King County terms, that might as well be $200 million, right? I mean, $100,000 is a lot in King County. Is it enough here? I would argue no. But in fairness, in the context of generally where this goes, $100,000 is a lot. His attorney, who I'm not going to name because he's entitled to an attorney and any attorney would do what this guy did, but stood up in front of the judge and said, given the details of this particular case, I'd like my client released on PR, personal recognizance, meaning no bail whatsoever. And again, while you and I look at this and say, really? That's the lawyer's job. I understand it. So I'm not going to give him too much of a hard time other than to say, how do you sleep at night? So this is what the attorney said, according to the prosecutor, because we got a note from the spokesperson for the King County Prosecuting Attorney's Office, who must have known this is going to be a pretty significant story. He's quoted as saying, there's no claim of any hands-on offense of any kind. Oh, well, okay. In fact, in the probable cause paperwork, it says the opposite. I don't see the need for a financial bail in this situation. If there was going to be bail, it should be reduced substantially from $100,000. It's not called for. So the judge agreed, because the judge, who I don't know the name of yet, reduced the bail. Reduced it by a quarter. So it was a $75,000 bail, which means he only had to put up $7,500 to be released, which explains how he got released so quickly. Additionally, though, there were some rules put on his conduct. He couldn't have access to any device that is capable of going online. So no cell phone or smartphone, at least, no computer, laptop, none of that. He's not allowed to use it. And he's not supposed to have any contact with minors. You would think that that would go without saying, but I'm glad they at least said it. This case, according to the documents, caught the attention of that national organization on December 10th. So we don't know how much of this was going on over the course of the last several months, because this was a long investigation to try to track this guy down. And that's not easy to do when it comes to having to go through the different internet providers and get specific information. You know, when we get emails coming in to the show account, producer Jackson's new enough, so you haven't seen any of the death threats, but usually that comes in a lot. Or we get, you know, anti-Semites who are reaching out to me in not so loving ways. It comes with an IP address, but when we look up the IP, it can take us to anywhere in Washington state. It doesn't give us all that information that you might think is attached to it. And if it comes from, say, an apartment complex, or an office building, right? I mean, that complicates it even more. So this is a really extensive investigation that they had to conduct in order to catch the person they say is responsible. There was some debate that I saw internally over the weekend about whether or not they were going to name the suspect, especially given the fact that he has not yet been even charged, let alone convicted. And I don't know where they ended up falling on that particular issue. For me, it was, of course you say the name. First of all, I always take a position of saying a name of a suspect who goes through the first hearing in front of a judge, and a judge says, oh yeah, there's probable cause here. To me, that's enough to name someone. Not to say that they've been charged, you still gotta be accurate, but I still think you say the name. Number two, if you've got someone who is connected in any way, shape, or form to someone who is even perceived to have power, then 100% you name. Why? Because you want to keep a spotlight on an issue where potentially someone gets special treatment and they shouldn't get special treatment. No one is deserving of special treatment when they are accused of these kinds of crimes. And the only way you can truly keep this story in a spotlight is to make that connection to the former mayor. Is that fair to the former mayor? No, I guess not, but do I care if it's fair to the former mayor, given the circumstances or the context of this? No, I really don't. I don't. It's not an indication that the mayor is even a bad father. Sometimes you're just dealing with people who are perverts. I don't know however else to say it, assuming that the allegations are true. So I'm all about, right? Wouldn't you name the person?
I would think so.
Like, what's the argument against naming someone?
I can't think of one.
There really isn't. And yet people in news, and this happens all the time, with not just even in a case like this, like, do we name, do we not? There's some newsrooms that don't name until someone's officially charged, which I understand. I totally get it. And, you know, the only thing I can think of is if you're falsely accused of something, but it's a public document. All of this is public anyway. And that's kind of how I feel. Now, if you were arrested for, you know, hit and run or something, and you were totally innocent, you just got, you matched the description of the person involved and you got caught up in this and they go ahead and move forward, all in good faith, you probably wouldn't want us to name you.
No, probably not.
Right, and I totally get that.
That would never happen, though.
How often does that actually happen, though? I know it sometimes happens, right? Sometimes. But usually it doesn't. And I'm okay at the end of this naming someone before they end up getting charged. However, out of fairness, if in fact we find out, oh, this was a total misunderstanding, didn't actually do it, Jackson was nowhere near the accident when it took place, I would say, well, then you correct it. You go on air, you put it in print, you say, okay, and this is the update to the story. The problem is, whether we're correcting something like that or just merely doing a follow-up, how often do follow-ups even happen? You've got the high-profile crimes that you guarantee, for the most part, you're going to get some sort of follow-up. But then what? What about everything else? Do they get covered? No, they almost never get covered. In fact, I would argue, and I'm willing to bet, even in this case, probably not going to be a ton of follow-up. There might be one story that comes out after the charges are made. I'm willing to bet that this doesn't get a whole lot of coverage, including when he inevitably gets some sort of deal that will avoid jail time for, you know, medical treatment of some kind.
Right.
Keep in mind, by the way, Democrats are the ones in Washington state that have been pushing to get sex offenders, separate story, kind of, I guess it's related, but to release them from their confinement into your communities, into Tenino, right? Into small communities that have a lot of kids. That's another reason why you might actually want to name a politician who is somehow connected, even if the politician is innocent in, you know, any of the alleged crimes. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me your notes. Don't forget, again, we've got on the KTTH smartphone app. If you don't have it, download it right now, because you can actually watch this show be performed. You can even, I mean, it's creepy, but you can keep it on mute and just watch. I wouldn't recommend, well, I mean, I'm handsome. Yeah. If you want. And you can even see our new producer.
Maybe you're a fan of silent films or something.
Yeah, I mean, you can lip read, which would be difficult because I do have a microphone that I'm usually talking into. 1-800-465-8770. It's the Jason Rant Show.
Easy Cater has everything you need to make food for work. Work. From ordering to reporting, we even keep your receipts all in one place, which means all you need to do is sit back and enjoy.
You're not having any lasagna?
All I can taste is hours of expense reports.
Relax, you used Easy Cater. Enjoy the food, Ray.
Oh, no, thanks. That's...
Enjoy it?
That's amazing.
Yes, Ray, it is amazing. 100,000 restaurants and everything you need to make food for work, work. Order 24/7 at easycater.com.
Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands. Fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. Our U.S.-based restoration specialists are experts dedicated to helping solve your identity theft issues. And all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. So we'll reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Help protect your information this tax season with LifeLock. Save up to 25% your first year with promo code NEWS at LifeLock.com.
Hey, it's Jason Rantz here. If you've been in a car accident, the last thing you want to worry about is whether you're being taken advantage of or getting what you're due. The law offices of Harold Carr can help. It's an unfortunate reality, but too often the driver at fault will mischaracterize an accident, or the insurance company gets creative with their own interpretation of policies so they can get out of paying you. If this happens to you, the law offices of Harold D. Carr, they will help you the same way they've helped over 22,000 clients. HaroldCarAttorney.com. There's two R's in Carr. This is a local law firm that takes on auto and truck accidents, wrongful death, and bad faith insurers. There are absolutely no upfront fees. Just Carr and his dedicated team there to fight for you and deal with the insurance company so you don't have to. HaroldCarAttorney.com. Two R's in Carr. When it comes to medical bills, repair costs, missing wages, or non-economic damages, you don't have to take on an insurance company alone. Harold Carr can help. HaroldCarAttorney.com. C-A-R-R. HaroldCarAttorney.com.
For tank and tankless hot water heaters, for clogged drains, for leaky faucets, for toilets that won't flush, stop freaking and call Beacon. Beacon Plumbing Heating and Mechanical is your trusted source to solve all your plumbing needs. 1-800-FREAKIN or beaconplumbing.net.
Don't believe the lie that you have to fall apart at the normal rate. See what your options really are. Listen to Leading Edge Medicine. Every Saturday morning between 8 and 10, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat answer your health questions live on the radio. You can choose how to age with help from Leading Edge Medicine. Saturday mornings from 8 to 10, right here on AM 770 KTTH.
To the Jason Ranch Show on AM 770 KTTH. Don't forget, you can see me giving producer Jackson all these horrific looks of disappointment. If you are on the KTTH app and you can watch now the show as it is performed live on studio video. And now he can give like the look like just there of when you forgot to turn on my microphone or it was muted or some kind. In my head, I was thinking, oh, God, I'm going to have to deal with this now until he quits.
I'm used to disappointed looks from my parents, so.
Well, I'm going to redefine disappointment over the course of the next several weeks. So just, at least I'm preparing you for it.
Yeah.
Does anyone else say, hey, come to my office so I can yell at you?
No, I appreciate the honesty.
Yeah, I feel like that's a reasonable thing to do is just be upfront and say, hey, I'm about to demoralize and humiliate you in front of other people for a mistake that was, probably easy to spot if I was warning you ahead of time of what not to do, but chose to stay silent so I could humiliate you in front of other people. I think that's reasonable and fair. Some people don't. Like, oh, you're yelling at me. You're throwing things at me. Oh, whatever.
It's better than normal passive aggressiveness you get here in Seattle, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I like to be direct. So let's be direct about something that happened over the weekend. That as much as I don't want to agree with Democrats calling something misinformation from the right, they were kind of correct. Now, they were technically correct, but it still misses the big issue, the big point. Because yesterday, many people in this country were celebrating, well, Easter. It was Easter Sunday. Now, to folks like me, as a Jew, I don't celebrate. Don't care that others do. Don't care that people say Happy Easter. Don't care that they're posting memes or like infographics about it. Like, I just don't get bothered by that. It's just, I know some people say, oh, not everyone celebrates Easter. Okay, well, then don't celebrate. You don't have to. I really don't care. A little much with the Bible verses yesterday on my Instagram account. But again, I expect that on Easter Sunday. But I was also getting a whole bunch, and I would argue, I'm pretty sure I saw way more, particularly from politicians and like government agency accounts, all virtue signaling because it was Transgender Day of Visibility. Now, here's the misinformation that was put out there. I think done in good faith, but it was misinformation. They were all saying, the people were complaining, that the Day of Transgender Visibility was purposely chosen to be on Easter Sunday. That is not true. That is not true. Easter Sunday is different each year because it follows the Gregorian calendar. For the Transgender Day of Visibility, they had said, I think it was 15 years ago, this would be the last day of March every single year. So they've been doing this every single year, the last day of March. It just so happened that this time it fell on Easter Sunday. Now, by the way, I will give everyone a warning right now, because you know what the date is next year for Easter Sunday? I can't hear you.
I haven't seen it. What is it?
420. So everyone just be prepared. You're going to get a lot of memes of stoned Easter bunnies. It's just going to happen. It will happen next year. Now, here's where this story sort of misses the whole point. People who were complaining about this, it wasn't merely about choosing Easter, quote unquote, choosing, even though it wasn't a choice, Easter Sunday. It was about going out of everyone's way on the left to talk about how they're standing up for trans people who are apparently under assault from the right. You're all under assault. They don't believe you have the right to even exist, we're told over and over and over again. and the whole notion of needing a day of visibility. Can someone name a single day over the course of the last 2.5 years in which we weren't talking about a transgender person being visible for one thing or another? Like, that's literally all that's visible now. That's all that's visible. It's just trans this and trans that, or non, and literally sometimes that's the pronoun. And then non-binary this and that. You know, we got it, guys. You know, not everyone needs to be visible or a day of visibility when they're already visible. It's the message that is being sent that in a lot of ways normalizes or legitimizes this idea that gender is fluid. Gender is not fluid. There are two genders. You can choose a gender that you want to identify as. Okay, you want to identify as, I don't care. It doesn't change the reality, however. It does not change whether or not biology still exists and matters. It does. And the folks who were celebrating this day, they were really all about trying to forward a political agenda, one that I don't think is based on sort of good faith intent. I think the intent is very clearly aimed at convincing, in particular, children that they can choose their gender because they were merely, quote unquote, assigned a gender at birth. That's the problem most people have with this. I don't know many adults on the right who say they're offended by the mere existence of someone who's transgender. I'm sure that they exist, those people, but that's not really the concern. For the most part, people say, if you're an adult, man, you can do what you want. You're not going to force me into accepting gender as being fluid or using personal pronouns that aren't even words. They're just noises that come out of someone's mouth. Zer! Like, that's not an actual word, so we're not going to do that. But if that's what you want to identify, okay, have at it. As long as you don't impact me and my family, do whatever it is you want. The real concern is about bringing this onto kids. And that's what has defined this entire movement, at least as it relates to 2023 into 2024. The movement has been all about getting in front of young kids. That's it. Getting in front of young kids. And folks have pointed to the founder of the Trans Day of Visibility. Don't know when this was filmed, but it was being shared yesterday a lot. In this case, the founder talks about the transition of being male to then identifying as female. But when this person claims to have felt like they were truly transgender, that's what caught a lot of people's attention.
I tried to come out to my
family,
parents, when I was 8 years old, okay?
Now, I'm assuming there's a speech impediment, right? There's like a stutter.
One would think so.
Okay, I don't know. He might identify someone who doesn't have a stutter, and that's something else that we have to point out. But this whole idea, you wanted to come out as transgender at 8 years old? No, you didn't. You're lying. That is completely made up. You did not feel anything at 8. Literally nothing. And you don't have any memory of your feelings at 8 years old. Stop that. Okay? Stop it. But why is this message out there? Because we're supposed to pretend that children as toddlers are transgender. No, they're not. They're not. I believe people are born gay, and so technically can a toddler be gay? Yeah, I guess. They don't know it, and neither do you. No one knows it. They have no concept of not even just sexuality, but gender. They have no concept of that whatsoever. They have no concept of what attraction is, right? They have no idea whatsoever. So this claim that you can be a transgender baby, no, you've got an abusive parent in the household if you've got someone who is saying, oh, my 7-year-old or my 5-year-old or my toddler, totally trans, actually kind of non-binary today. I asked they how they felt today, and they told me, non-committal. It's like, your toddler said non-committal? Yeah, my toddler's very advanced for their age. And I'm done with all the pretending. I'm just done. There's an event coming up. I'm looking into it. At a library in King County next weekend. And it's all on this topic. It's a transgender author who's teaching parents how to be better parents to transgender kids. And at the bottom of the invite, it said, toddlers are welcome. It's age appropriate for toddlers plus. Like, really? Why even say that?
I'm a little skeptical.
It's not. The toddler has no idea what's even being discussed. So just stop it. And if you're a concerned parent wondering whether or not your toddler is being properly parented as a trans toddler, you should never be going to these kinds of events. Please don't, because you're only going to make things worse. You should go seek counseling. Seriously. Your toddler is not trans. Simple. It's really that simple. I know that there are a lot of parents who, in good faith, want to make sure that they're doing things the right way, but they've been convinced of a reality that is not true. They are being convinced that their 5-year-old daughter who likes to play with G.I. Joes, it must mean that their daughter is actually their son. And we're dealing with a case of misassignment, I guess, at birth. No, it could be that your kid just likes to play with G.I. Joes. It could mean ultimately maybe your kid is lesbian at the end. I don't know. But isn't it weird how we went from, at least in my childhood, and I'm 29 for 14 years, when I was younger, a few years ago, there was this belief that you should stop shaming your kids for playing with toys that quote unquote belong to a different gender. Meaning if your son wanted to play with an easy bake oven or something, there's nothing wrong with that. Leave them alone. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't even mean that they're gay, obviously. And that, I think, is a reasonable message and a fair message and a truthful message. But it then became, your son wants to play with the Easy Bake Oven. Maybe we should stop calling him John and call him Jane. And maybe we should just consider the fact that he might be she. Like, why did we make that jump again, other than for political points as part of a identity-focused movement on the left? Why are we pretending that again? And how does that help the kid? You know, there is such a thing as having environmental impact on children and how they view things and how they view themselves. Imagine for a moment, you're a 6-year-old growing up in 2024 being told that, well, we don't have to commit to you being a boy. That's going to confuse the heck out of these kids. So what do you think ends up happening? And then when they're 12 or 13, they start having some feelings that maybe are just confusing to them. And they might then say, well, maybe I am transgender. I mean, my teacher has been telling me that for the last 6 years. I'm like, well, maybe they're the ones who are harming you. Seriously, maybe they're the ones who are harming you. All that to say, though, that yesterday was not intentional. I went on a little bit of a roundabout way to get there.
Of course not. Yeah,
yesterday was not intentional. And it bothers me because people were spreading this. And I do think some of the folks know better. And they were still sharing this because they thought they were making a bigger point about transgender issues. Just make the bigger point about transgender issues. You don't have to say that this was done intentionally. You really don't. I will note that I don't think I saw a single Twitter feed or Instagram feed from a politician or an agency or whatnot that didn't do the first tweet was about Easter and then followed up immediately, like 47 seconds goes by, and then you get the Transgender Day of Remembrance. I think that was done intentionally in bad faith because they wanted to bring more attention to the trans day meme than they did the Easter meme, because, well, you know, Democrats are kind of godless. We can just say it. You can say it.
I can.
You're a big Easter guy. I saw your memes.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's a quote from the Bible that I didn't understand.
Yeah.
The one you posted yesterday, I was like, I don't know what he's saying here.
It was New Testament. So
yeah, well, there you go. Jew, yeah, no New Testament understanding on my end. 1-800-465-8770. 1-800-465-8770. The president did spend today celebrating Easter in a way that was kind of gross, because apparently the theme of the Easter Day egg hunt over at the White House was oysters. Why would you make a seafood-themed Easter egg hunt? That's just eggs and oysters?
Do kids even like oysters?
Oh, my
God.
Ugh. We're going to get into that when we come back on the Jason Rand Show. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. The Easter egg hunt went on without a hitch today. I guess. I don't know. I mean, the whole thing about it being oyster themed was kind of odd to me.
Thanks, everybody. And by the way, say hello to oyster bunnies. Come on up, bunnies. Get up here so they can see
you. Now, I know he meant to say our Easter bunny, but he very clearly says oyster. He very clearly says it. And look, you know, I get it. I talk for a living. Every once in a while, I will miscommunicate. I will say a word that I didn't intend to say, or I will speed through something and say something incorrectly. He does that a lot, though, like a lot. And whenever anyone points it out, we're supposed to be shamed for doing it. And sometimes they'll say, well, he has a stutter. Okay. So did the Trans Visibility Day founder. I mean, I heard the word trans. I didn't hear the word trons. It's just, I don't quite understand pointing to the stutter. But also, because he does this a lot, it just reminds people that they're not entirely comfortable with someone of his age being president. Even when it's something small like oyster, which is why you'll never hear anyone who uses this clip. And they probably would use this clip on the news today on MSNBC and CNN for their puff piece about what happened. They'll never say, and by the way, he meant our E. They'll just pretend that they didn't hear it. They'll pretend that there was no issue whatsoever. He did do an interview today, those hard-hitting interviews with Al Roker on the Today Show, who doesn't talk about weather here, but talks about, I guess, the economy and how people are feeling maybe a little bit pessimistic about the direction that the country's going in. In fact, I'm looking at a new Rasmussen poll that came out today, and it says that wrong track for the direction of the country is up 31 points right now. 63% of people said we're headed in the wrong direction, according to this latest poll. And so you've got in this, let's just call it a softball interview, because he didn't really ask even this question. You would say, okay, at least it's a somewhat tough question about it wasn't a tough question about the economy. It was basically, things are so amazing. Why don't people understand that?
Well, I say we have the best economy in the world. We got to make it better.
Okay, if we have the best economy in the world, how much better does it need to be? Right? I mean, this whole idea that we have the best one. Okay, the best out of just garbage, right? I mean, I'm glad we're number one, I suppose. It's much better than being, you know, number 50 or number 110. But he keeps saying, oh, we have the best economy in the world. Even if that is true, people are suffering. And when you say we have the best of the best, but sure, we got to do a little bit better, while people are struggling to buy groceries still, because of inflation, when you go ahead and say, oh, and not only do we have the best economy in the world, wages are up, but they're not keeping up with inflation. So cool, I guess. It's up, but it's basically the same as where we were before, because most people don't just magically change the kinds of foods that are staples within their households. And the ones who do, it's because they can't afford it, which again is just a reminder that you're saying great things about the economy when people aren't feeling it.
We really do have the best economy in the world. Jobs are up more than they've ever been. We're in a situation where the lowest...
Jobs are up more than... First of all, I don't even know what that means. Jobs are up more than they've ever been. You mean we have more jobs now? That's just not true. This is, again, him trying to take credit. And we've all seen the meme on his Twitter feed about how he's created... Did you hear he created like a trillion jobs? And of course, he's counting all the jobs that he was responsible for. Democrats were responsible for shutting down over COVID. Whereas a lot of folks towards the end of the Trump tenure were saying, hey, can we go back to normal? Then he's out of office. Everyone's all like, okay, can we really go back to normal now? Because it seems like we shouldn't be closing the economy for as long as we have. And yet, what did they say? No, we're keeping them closed. Keeping them closed. And then finally, okay, fine, you can reopen. Oh, but I'm going to take credit for all those new jobs.
Unemployment rate in 50 years is maintained. We have people just, but people, look.
By the way, how can you have a maintained unemployment rate when you created more jobs than ever before? How is our population exploded? Because I thought our population has slowed down tremendously because people don't want to have kids anymore.
You're not supposed to ask these kind of questions, Jason.
Sorry. My bad. Sorry, I'm not Al Roker. I should just stand there just nodding like a dope.
I think we're going to find out that what happened is a consequence of the crisis we had in health. is have a lasting effect. And we just got to get people to move again. We're ready. I mean, I think the country's ready to come together in a way that I've never... I mean that sincerely. I'm truly optimistic.
He's truly optimistic, as he calls half the country fascist. The interesting thing is, and pay attention to this, he will be talking about optimism and how he's optimistic. He'll use that language specifically for the remainder of this presidential season, the campaign season. He's doing that because he wants to create a greater contrast between himself and Donald Trump, which is what he did the last time, right? Trump is chaotic. Trump is mean. Trump is dangerous. I'm the adult. I'm calm. I'm cool. I'm collected. Look at me put on my sunglasses. Aren't I cool? And everyone at this point is just saying, yeah, okay, it's not going to work anymore. That's not going to work on us, which is precisely why you see the polls where they are. That same Rasmussen poll that came out today said, hey, how do you rate the president's job performance? He's still underwater by 11 points. And that's probably one of the better polls for him, just being under by 11 points. People are paying attention not just to the economy, which is why he's failing. They're looking at other big issues to people, which include the border. And what was really interesting over the weekend, a video went viral. It came from a Denver city official by the name of Andres Carrera, the communications liaison for the city, the political director for the mayor of Denver, a Democrat. He was speaking to a group of illegal immigrants, basically saying, I know we're all in a sanctuary city here, but please, please, please go to New York or Chicago. Please get out of here. He said it in Spanish, so we did have to get it translated for you.
The opportunities are over. New York gives you more. Chicago gives you more. So I suggest you go there.
By the way, remember when Greg Abbott was busing folks into Chicago, into New York, it was racist. You're only doing that because the mayors are black. When this dude does it, oh, no one says a thing.
Where there is longer term shelter. There are also more job opportunities there. But one request, please download the KTTH app on your Obama phone.
Oh, that was nice.
You can now watch the show on web camera, which is good entertainment on the bus ride to New York.
That's a great selling point, actually. I'm impressed by that. Thank you for doing that. Oh, we added that part. That was not okay. Well, it was a good gesture.
Yeah, I don't speak Spanish, but I don't think that's what he was saying. But
how do you know? You just said you don't speak Spanish. So why are you getting all involved? Who asked you, Mister? I don't speak Spanish, but I'm going to weigh in. Oh, he just pokes his nose and everything. He's like, oh, I've been here a week. I guess I can do that now. I've been here a week. I'm going to undercut the message. I think clearly. I heard him say Jason Rantz in the background. I heard it.
All right.
I heard Jason. I heard Jason, but that's Jason in Spanish, I think. 1-800-465-8770. In fact, if you text the keyword app to 1-800-465-8770, we'll send you a link to the KTTH smartphone app. You download it on your phone and bam, you can not only listen to KTTH on the app, but you can also watch us hosting the show live on the app. It's really cool. 1-800-465-8770.